through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Kia ora, Tim.
Morena legends, how are we?
Oh, that's a nice way to start the day. Thanks, I'm good.
I can fit the joy from being called a legend. It's quite strong.
It's nice, it doesn't happen often.
You guys are up at like 5 a.m., you're on air from,
I'm going to assume
6. It's, you know, 9 o'clock is like your knockoff time. I've got to inject a bit of energy in here. You guys have earned it.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim, we appreciate it. What are we talking about today? What's going on in the media world?
I've got quite a few little tidbits for you. So I thought I'd start off with a fun one because some of it's a little bit dry balls. And then I've got some more kind of fun stuff at the end. So something to look forward to.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. What are we starting with then?
Well, the first thing is just continuing to track the downward trajectory of Ellen DeGeneres. Her show's been taken off the air in Australia from its regular slot on the Nine Network and been replaced with reruns of Desperate Housewives.
That feels like a real kick in the knees if your show gets replaced with reruns of Desperate Housewives. You're not doing well.
Desperate Housewives has a popular, it's got a big audience.
I'm sure.
It does, but it's not a current show. And Ellen, up until quite recently, was like the single largest chat show in the world. This is, if you've been under a rock for a little while, off the back of plummeting ratings from Ellen's show after these rumours, which have actually been percolating for many years. They sort of rose to the surface of most people's consciousness when some hugely prominent Twitter and Reddit threads went wild online and got reported on, which included some first-hand accounts from apparent former staffers, which were alleging abuse and mistreatment at the show. Ellen made a real shit half-hearted apology a month ago. They've let a few producers go, but the show seems to be, to me, in an unescapable downward spiral towards cancellation.
I kind of felt like when they let those producers go, it was a bit like they were trying to be like, all the bad things have gone now, let's get back to it. But a lot of those allegations are actually against Ellen herself.
That is exactly it. And the thing is like, people hate hypocrisy. If there's someone who's famous for being an asshole on air, they're not going to get shocked by allegations that they're an asshole behind closed doors or when the cameras stop rolling. But the fact that Ellen has built this empire on being nice and generous and sweetness and light to everyone, and then being hit with the fact that no one's allowed to look her in the eye and you've got to use mouthwash before you engage in a meeting with her, has not rubbed people the right way.
No.
So, that's the fun one.
What?
In more local news, do you guys remember there was going to be, from the New Zealand government, a second round of media support after COVID hit? So, there's a bit of an update on this. To contextualise this a little bit, the first package was worth $50 million. It was brought in the wake of the first lockdown and appearance of COVID in New Zealand, which absolutely decimated advertising revenue in the media industry, just like all around. Bauer went under, which took hundreds of media jobs away and several publications off of our shelves as well in supermarkets and online. So the first package was $50 million. The majority of that was just the government waiving transmission fees that broadcasters normally have to pay and waiving their NZ On Air contributions. And there was always going to be the second package of media support that was going to get announced. And we were always like waiting and waiting and waiting on the details from Minister Chris Farfoy. And he has announced yesterday that the second package is not coming and didn't even make it to Cabinet. And the reason for that, according, this is a direct quote from the minister, we had some conversations obviously with our support partners, but we weren't able to reach consensus. I'll point out in the interest of fairness and balance as well that the minister pointed out that media companies are broadly doing better than they were expected to.
This is true.
But sounds a tiny bit spinny
to
me.
That's funny. I was really hyped on that announcement coming and I just completely forgot.
This is how the news cycle works, man.
Wow, yeah, I've just been sucked right in.
So do you think there's going to be any chasing up of that, or what's the deal there?
No, I think it's fallen into the election hole now, and I just don't think people give enough of a crap, and it's an urgent enough problem to warrant any discussion. I don't think that's right, but I think that that's what's going to happen.
Right.
Interestingly, to update another story that we talked about quite a lot on the show previously, the announced, like this was an announced merger between TVNZ and Radio New Zealand. That is not happening anytime soon either. That's been put on the back burner after... I think RWC did a business case review of its viability, and it looks like nothing will even start to happen until 2023. And that was after it got announced that things were going to start happening like immediately. So that's kind of interesting as well. Also in local media news to do with TVNZ, they've just announced their finances for the year. Their net profit is negative $26 million.
That's a lot of money.
It is. It's quite a lot of money to be in the hole, particularly when you're supposed to be making money, not losing money. That being said, TVNZ's profit has been wafer thin recently anyway. Last year, they only made $3 million in profit. There were some good explanations from this from my sworn enemy, TVNZ CEO, Kevin Kendrick.
Why is he your sworn enemy?
Because he took TVNZU off the air, and it did not cost a lot of money to keep it on the air, so he is forever now my sworn enemy.
Tim's going to one-out him.
But
we don't support one-outing at BFM.
Without getting into my personal vendettas, he had some pretty good explanations for the $26 million loss. COVID's the very obvious one, but there was some sort of stuff relating to that, which are one-off expenses, some redundancy costs, some expenditures they needed to make to do more local content. And they had to basically write down the value of a bunch of content that they bought pre-COVID, and then the situation completely changed when the virus hit.
Blimey.
So their financial position is still solid. They've got access to $100 million in cash through a few different mechanisms, mainly through the government if they need it, that they haven't tapped yet. But this loss is effectively a taxpayer subsidy, because TVNZ's it's a state-owned enterprise, and they're supposed to return a dividend to the government, but they haven't of any value for a while, and the government doesn't seem to care. So it's all very well and good, but it does make for quite a lopsided television landscape in New Zealand, where other players like MediaWorks, you know, have to operate inside a free market environment where if they're losing money, they will get shut down, because that's how business works. But if TVNZ does it, the government can just kind of forgive the dividend that is being expected. So yeah, this was happening there at TVNZ.
Good to know. Good to know what's going on.
Also, they released some election coverage. You want me to really quickly run through what's happening?
Hit us with a bit of election coverage.
Four debates. 22nd of September is the first one. That's a leaders' debate between Jacinda Ardern and Leader of the Opposition, Judith Collins. John Campbell is moderating that one. 6 days after that, on the 28th of September, there's the Young Voters Debate, featuring some unnamed candidates from a range of parties.
What's the Young Voters Debate?
I don't know.
We'll find
out. I could guess, but I would be guessing. But I'm going to assume it'll feature younger members of Parliament, or maybe younger candidates making a claim for why young people should vote for them.
Got you.
That's moderated by Jack Tame. That'll be streamed online through TVNZ One's website. Then on the 8th of October, there's the multi-party debate that includes New Zealand First, the Greens and ACT, moderated by Jessica Mutch. And on the 15th of October, just before the election, which I think is the 17th, right? Is that right?
17th of October. That's the one. So put it in your calendar, folks.
2 days before that, we've got the final leaders debate, and that is Jacinda Ardern and Judith Collins, moderated by Jessica Mutch McKay as well. Last thing I want to get to on Media Bat is, I mean, this isn't like that new, but there's Mike Hosking's trending on Twitter at the moment, which is true.
It happens infrequently, to be fair. Goes
it's
up
about
and down.
Three days of the week. But at the moment, it's remove Mike is the tag. I mean, this happens periodically, to be honest. There's quite often pitchforks that come out for Mike Hosking. In 2017, there was a petition that got signed by over 75,000 New Zealanders to get him removed from having anything to do with election coverage and moderation.
That is a lot of signees.
Yeah, it's a few. This current petition is just asking NZME to drop him completely from Newstalk ZB. That's the company that owns Newstalk. I think it's only been going for a day and it's gotten over 3,500 signatures. But there's an associated donations bucket for it, which has raised money from 900 people to boost the reach of the petition.
Wow.
Which is quite a lot. So that's like one in four people who have signed have also contributed some money to boost it.
Blimey.
Now, I think that this is all in reaction to an interview that Mike Hosking had with the Prime Minister yesterday, which I had the misfortune of listening to in its entirety to get the background for chatting to you guys today. And man, it sucks. It sucks so bad. He opens the interview, like when most people would sort of say good morning, he says, would it be fair to say that this is all your fault?
What?
In terms of Auckland being still in lockdown. And it just goes for another like 12 minutes.
That's one way to start a conversation.
Yeah, yeah. And I am like, it is so important that we have people holding people in power to account. And I know that there are a lot in the media who fawn over Labor and Jacinda Ardern. So like, there's definitely a critical need for people to be able to critique this government. But just the manner in which Mike Hosking does it, you don't have to be a flaming asshole. And I thought I'd leave you today with a little choice cut from that interview that comes at about the three-quarter mark.
Shall I hit it?
That'd be great. I'll chat to you guys later. Have a lovely rest of your day and enjoy this little bit of Hosking in your day.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Do you look to take over in some way, shape or form either the Tauranga City Council or the Invercargill City Council?
Why on earth are you making such suggestions?
Because the department has written to both of the councils looking for information that they may involve the role of the minister in them.
And you're suddenly making an assumption that we're going to take over...
Well, that's one of the outworkings of the information they receive from the letter they sent
councils.
To
councils. Mike, if you've got a list of things that you want to run through this morning, then that is fine.
Were you not aware of the department writing to the councils asking for information of potential ministerial involvement?
No, I think it's a ridiculous suggestion that we would take over a council or a port or somehow this morning that you would like me to get into the detail of a gas case.
These are, well, the gas cases, you're being sued. The port is you've been written to.
That happens from time
and
to
the
time,
councils, right? Two government departments have written to the councils asking for information there potentially gets ministerial involvement.
The idea that we are taking over a council, though, is incorrect.
Neither council?
No, Mike.
Are you sure?
Mike, when has this government ever taken over a council?
You're not going to appoint anybody to run the council, is what I'm asking.
No.
Then why are you writing letters asking for information from the minister's department, then?
Look, Mike, I can't speak to that in detail, but no, we are not taking over a democratically elected council.
Appreciate your time.
That was Mike Hosking chatting to the Prime Minister yesterday, courtesy of Tim Batt. Thank you very much for that, Tim.
Sorry.
That was something. That really was.
But the people got to know what's going on.
Hey, we will talk to you again next week. I hope you have a good one.
Peace out.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Batt, only on 95 BFM.